Good morning. Good morning. If you can find our seats, we'll get started. As you're finding your seats, if you would, turn to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. Again, we'll start in verse 1. Exodus 20, verse 1. If you would, read along with me this morning. Again, starting in verse 1. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested in the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God has given you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, our Father, God, it amazes me so often that we can call you Father. Lord, I pray as we look at this command this morning to honor our parents, to honor our father and mother, to honor parenthood, Lord, that you would be with us, that we would see the weightiness of parenthood, Lord. That you would show us, Lord, what it means, Lord, that you are Father, that you have adopted us into your family, God. God, I thank you for your grace. Lord, I know that as we enter into this commandment, this fifth commandment, Lord, and we talk about the family and relationships with father and son, Lord, that there is many hurts within this room. Those that have been hurt by their parents, maybe regret, Lord, of not parenting the way they should parent, Lord, or maybe a broken family, Lord, where there's a single mom or dad parenting, Lord. God, I pray that we rest in your grace, Lord, knowing that you are our perfect Father in heaven. God, I pray that you're with us right now in your Son's name. Amen. We are continuing our sermon series through the Ten Commandments, and today we are going to be looking at the fifth commandment, or what I like to tell my children all the time, my favorite commandment. Verse 12, again, honor your father and your mother. Now, just like the third commandment, I think most people see this command and oversimplify it, believing that the fifth commandment simply means obey your parents. I hope we will see today that the fifth commandment is way more significant than just obey your parents. In fact, the fifth commandment is really a foundational commandment. It's foundational to both our relationship with God and our relationship with others, our relationship with our neighbors. In fact, society itself is dependent on this commandment. So it's a significant commandment. There's three parts of the sermon this morning. The first part is this, the weight of the fifth commandment. The weight of the fifth commandment. The second part of the sermon this morning will be the nature of the fifth commandment. And finally, we will talk about the hope of the fifth commandment. So let's start with the weight of the fifth commandment. Again, if you would look at verse 12, it simply says, honor your father and your mother. Now, the main imperative here is the word honor. We are to honor. It's a positive commandment. Most of the other commandments are stated negatively, but this one's stated positively. We are to honor. Now, that Hebrew word that's translated honor into English has this connotation of weightiness. In fact, the Hebrew word is often translated in other parts of the Old Testament as heavy. Heavy. Let me just give you a couple examples. This is the same Hebrew word, same root word that's used. In 1 Samuel 5, 6, it says this, the hand of the Lord was heavy against the people. 1 Kings 12, 10 says this, my father made your yoke heavy, heavy. Nehemiah 5, 15 says this, the former governors who were before me laid heavy, heavy burdens on the people. This is the same word that's used in the fifth commandment, heavy. It's the same word that's translated honor in verse 12 in the fifth commandment. Therefore, honor in the fifth commandment really has this fundamental meaning of weightiness or weighty. There is a weightiness or treat as weighty, in other words. Meaning to honor one's parents is to give due weight to their position. It's to honor, respect, it's to value, it's to esteem, it's to prize fathers and mothers. We are to honor the high calling of parenthood. Again, if you would, look at verse 12. It says, honor your father and your mother. In one sense, again, this is really a simple command, a few words. But I want to take this a few steps deeper. And let me just ask this question when we look at the Ten Commandments as a whole. Where is this commandment located within the Ten Commandments? It's located near the center, right in the middle. In fact, as close to the middle as you can get. And this is not by accident. Let me explain. If you would, look at chapter 20, Exodus chapter 20. We've gone through the first four commandments and have spent a lot of time so far on them. But the first four commandments have to do with our relationship with God, worship of God, love of God. If you would look, verse 3 says, you shall have no other gods before me. This is the who we are to worship. We are to worship God alone. We are to worship Yahweh. We are to worship the one true God. Verse 4, you shall not make for yourself a carved image. This is the how we are to worship. We are not to worship like the pagans, in other words, making carved images or idols. Verse 7, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. This is the why. We are called to bear God's name in a worthy manner in both words and deeds. Verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We've gone over all these commandments so far, and all these commandments primarily have to do with worship of God, our vertical relationship, love of God. We're going to be switching here and looking at the last five commandments, which have more to do with our relationship with our fellow men, fellow man, right? Love of neighbor. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. Again, the first four commandments clearly have to do with our relationship with God, love of God. The last five commandments have to do with our relationship with others, love of neighbor. But what about the fifth commandment? Verse 12, honor your father and your mother, that the days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Where does the fifth commandment go? Now, it seems like at face value when you read verse 12, when you read the fifth commandment, right, this should be categorized with love of neighbor or with love of fellow man because it's a horizontal relationship. It's a relationship with other men, right? Other men and women, your mom and dad, your dad, your mother, or father and mother. It's not necessarily worship of God. But at the same time, it's part of the first five commandments. And for me, who likes five and five, it really bugs me that the one is over and making it six. That's not good justification for why you should put it with the first five. But there really is a debate about this. Right? Some say that the Ten Commandments should be split up four and six, that the first four primarily have to do with love of God, and the last six have to do with love of neighbor. That includes the fifth commandment, honor your parents. Yet there's others that say honoring your father and mother has more to do with worship of God. They say that the parents are not merely neighbors, but God's representatives. Therefore, the Ten Commandments should be split five and five. Five, love of God, right, including the fifth commandment, honor your parents. Five, love of neighbor. Now, why is this important? Because I've spent a lot of time in this. In fact, in the introduction of the Ten Commandments, I spent a lot of time on this too. Why is this so important? Well, here's why. I believe the fifth commandment is a transitional commandment. It transitions us from love of God to love of neighbor. Therefore, God placed it right in the middle of the Ten Commandments for a reason. It's not an accident that it's the fifth commandment. Listen to what theologian Mark Ricker writes. He says this, "It is rightly seen that the parental law, the fifth commandment, is pivotal as one moves from the obligations to God to obligations to fellow human beings and society. The transitional nature of the fifth commandment explains why there is a debate whether this commandment should be read with the previous four or the last five." In other words, the parent-child relationship is a foundational relationship. It's foundational both to our relationship with God, to worship of God or love of God, and it's foundational to our relationship with neighbors. Meaning, not only is there a weightiness to the call of parenthood, but just think about this for a second. There's actually a weightiness to this commandment itself. It's the fifth commandment that transitions us from love of God to love of neighbor. Remember what Jesus said when he was asked what the greatest commandment out of the Old Testament was, the Pharisees trying to trap him. Jesus responded in Matthew 22, verse 37, he responded, "You shall love the Lord God, the Lord your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." The fifth commandment transitions us from the greatest commandment, right, love of God, to the second greatest commandment, love of neighbor. Again, therefore, there's a weightiness to the fifth commandment. There's a weightiness in honoring your parents, in honoring parenthood. There's a weightiness to parenting. So that's the first point this morning. There's a weightiness to the fifth commandment. Second point of the sermon this morning, second part, is the nature of the fifth commandment. And we're going to spend some time here. Again, the child, parent-child relationship is a foundational relationship. Again, it transitions us from love of God to love of neighbor. So I want to look at these two different aspects, love of God and love of neighbor, and how they are seen within the fifth commandment. Let's look at both. I want to start with what the fifth commandment has to do with love of God or worship of God. And it's pretty simple, again, at face value. Our relationship with our parents is our first exposure. It's our first understanding. It's our first revelation of who God is. In fact, Charles Hodge writes, "Parents stand in relationship to their dependent children as, so to speak, in the place of God." In other words, when children are young, especially when they're young, parents represent God to them. John Calvin puts it in this way. God calls us to himself through our parents. We learn to be subject to God by learning to be subject to our parents. And parental discipline teaches us how to be disciplined by the Father. This means as parents, we have been given a stewardship and a responsibility to represent God to our children. Our love and compassion, our discipline and instruction as parents should point our children to God. If you would, turn with me to Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19. We look in, starting in verse 1, this is a important chapter in the book of Leviticus, and there's an important phrase that you all recognize in verse 2. I want to look at this passage because there's an interesting use of words that I want to point out, and we see these use of words throughout the Old Testament. I'm just going to give you one example, and it's found in the first three verses of Leviticus. If you would, again, look at verse 1. Leviticus 19, verse 1 says this, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." This is really foundational to the entire law as a whole, right? God's nature is the foundation of the law. Be holy, for I am holy. Reflect my nature in obeying the law. Right, this is a foundational statement. Well, listen to what comes right after that in verse 3. "Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father." I just think it's interesting that right after God makes this foundational statement, "Be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy," the very next thing he says is, "You shall revere mother and father." Now, is there any guesses what the word revere is in Hebrew? It's the same exact word that is most often translated fear. Fear. In fact, look at Leviticus 19, verse 14. Verse 14 says this, "You shall not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind, but you shall fear your God. I am the Lord." Same word. Verse 32. "You shall stand up before the gray head and honor the face of the old man, and you shall fear your God. I am the Lord." Same word. Again, verse 3. "Every one of you shall revere or fear his mother and his father." Now, I think most, if not all of us, know that that word fear is normally associated with God. In fact, often we hear that we are called to fear God and him alone. But in verse 3, right, this word is used about parents. "Every one of you shall revere," every one of you shall fear his mother and his father. We see this word that's normally associated with God being associated with parents. Again, we see this throughout the Old Testament. In fact, the word honor itself. Again, the fifth commandment says, "Honor your father and your mother." The Hebrew word is normally associated with God throughout the Old Testament. It's often translated glorify. We are to glorify God. If these words, honor, glorify, fear, these are words normally reserved for God and reserved for God alone. But in the Old Testament, over and over again, we see this association with parents too. Why? Why? Because our relationship with our parents is our first revelation of God. It's our first revelation of God. It's our first understanding of who God is. We learn how to honor, glorify, how to fear God partly through our relationship with our parents. Think about it this way. What has God revealed himself as in relationship to his people more than anything else besides maybe Lord? Father. In Exodus 4, God said, "Israel is my firstborn son." In Ephesians 5, chapter 1, verse 5, it says, God predestined us, that's the church, predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. God reveals himself as Father in both the Old and New Testament, in both Israel and the church. So here's my question. Where do we get our first understanding of fatherhood? Our parents. Our earthly dads. Our fathers. Listen to Psalm 103, verse 13. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. In other words, God uses our understanding of fatherhood to reveal his character. Parents, we need to hear this. And this is a huge responsibility. That's weighty. We are called to point our children to God by how we parent. But this keeps going too. I want you to think about this. What else has God revealed himself, right, in relationship to his people? Husband. Husband. Ephesians 5:22 says this, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. In other words, marriage is meant to be a reflection, again, a revelation of Christ's relationship with the church. So let me ask you a question. When is our first exposure to the marriage relationship? Home. A family. As a child watching mom and dad and how they interact with each other, how they love each other. Again, there is a weightiness to parenting. There's a weightiness to marriage. When our children grow up and they read in the Bible and come across passages that say God is Father, what is their first thoughts going to be? What meaning have you filled into those words, right? Father, parent. You know, I know a lot of people, as a pastor, I come across and have to counsel with a lot of people that struggle with that concept. God is Father. They struggle with it because of their upbringing, because of abuse or neglect or abandonment of their earthly fathers. How about this? When our children grow up and they read in the Bible that Christ is the husband of the church, that Christ, the church, are married, what is their first thoughts going to be about marriage? What have we learned about marriage by watching mom and dad? What meaning have you given to the words husband, wife, marriage? Parenthood is man's first revelation of God. And just think about this. Before children can read, before children, a child has the mental capability to comprehend God, God reveals himself through the love, the nature, the nurture, and the stability of their parents. The role of parenthood is extremely important. It's vital. It's weighty. Parenthood is weighty. And this is why we are called to honor parents. Again, verse 12, honor your father and your mother. There is a weightiness to this calling. But I also want you to think about this, because the family is not just where we have our first revelation and exposure of God. The family is also foundational to society. Again, the fifth commandment is this transitional commandment. It transitions us from love of God, from an understanding of God, of revelation of God. It transitions us to love of neighbor. If you would, turn back to Exodus chapter 20. We'll look at verse 12 again. Exodus chapter 20. verse 12, Exodus 20, says, honor your father and your mother. Then it says this, that the days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Now, I think most of us are familiar that in the New Testament, Paul points out in Ephesians that this is the only commandment out of the 10 that's a promise is attached to it. Again, this promise is that the days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Now, I think we know, since we've been in the Old Testament for so long, that the word land is a significant word. That word land obviously points forward to the promised land, the land that will be given to the Israelites. But the word land also connects verse 12 to verse 2. If you would, look at verse 2. It says this, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land, right? Out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Therefore, when you connect verse 12 and verse 2, there's meant to be a connection here. You realize that this is not just a promise. This is also a warning. If you keep the fifth commandment, if you honor your father and your mother, right, the promise is that you will live long in the land. But if you break the fifth commandment, you will end up back in slavery. Back in Egypt, verse 2, the land of Egypt, the house of slavery. For Israel, you'll be exiled out of the land. Again, the fifth commandment has both a promise and a warning connected to it. And I really believe this, once again, shows just how foundational, right, this commandment is. There's a foundational nature to this commandment. When a culture, in other words, or a nation, starts regularly breaking the fifth commandment, this is just a clear sign that the end is near. For Israel, it's a sign that exile is near. For other nations, it's just a sign that there's coming destruction, right? Destruction is near. Again, that's because the family unit is foundational to society. The parent-child relationship is a foundational relationship to society. But how? It's a fair question to ask. How is the parent-child relationship foundational to society? Right? Why is it so foundational? And well, there's a number of reasons. We can point to many of them. But I think there's one main reason why it's so foundational to society. And again, I wish I could spend some more sermons on this. But I want to look at one main reason. And it has to do with authority. If a child doesn't respect, honor, or obey his parents, then who is he going to respect, honor, and obey? In fact, Augustine was famous for asking, if anyone fails to honor his parents, is there anyone he will spare? Respecting and honoring authority, right? It starts at home. If a child doesn't show respect to his parents, if a child doesn't honor his mom and dad, then who is he going to respect? Who is he going to honor? Actually, as I was getting ready for this sermon, I was reading through John Calvin's sermon on the fifth commandment, and as I was reading through his sermon, it was at night, and I was in bed just kind of reading through it. There's just a line that jumped out of the pages, and it really kind of shocked me. Calvin called the child who disowns his father and mother, he just calls him a monster. Listen, if a culture doesn't teach the younger generation to honor authority, starting with parents, you know what ends up happening? You end up tearing apart the very essence of society itself. Now, let's be clear. This is one of the main reasons our society is falling apart today. We as a nation, we teach, we encourage, we support the breaking of the fifth commandment. We are producing young men and young women who have absolutely no respect for authority. Talked about this a number of times, but I think it's really important to understand as a church, we should be teaching the younger generation to have respect for authority, to honor those that have gone before us, to honor parents and grandparents. I've talked about this before. It's not an accident. Right? The millennials and the generation that's coming after the millennials, whatever you want to call them, they're not just arrogant. They have been taught to be arrogant. They've been taught by our culture to be arrogant. It's a philosophical ideology that's been taught to them. It's a presupposition. It's a worldview, a way to view the world that says they are wiser than the generations that have gone before them. They are wiser than their parents or grandparents. Again, it's a philosophical ideology. You can trace it back to philosophers and their ideology, such as Hegel or Rousseau. It's a belief that the young or the youth, unlike adults or the elderly, unlike parents and grandparents, the youth have not been corrupted by society and or religion. Therefore, the youth are closer to untarnished pure wisdom than adults. Just watch any modern children's movie. You ask, like, well, how is this getting taught to our kids? Just watch any modern kids show. Who is always the fool? Who is always corrupt or blind? The adults, the parents. Who are the wise? Who are the heroes? Who are often the honorable within the movie or show? Children, youth, the young. It's not an accident, it's an ideology, and the results of this ideology has been devastating. One well-known pastor once said, "Show me a nation where there is disobedience to parents, and I'll show you a nation whose foundations are crumbling." Our foundations are crumbling, and I know we all feel it. This is largely because we regularly break the fifth commandment. We do not honor our parents as a culture anymore. We are raising up children who have disowned their parents' values, disowned their parents' belief. We, as a culture, are raising up children, as Calvin boldly said, to be monsters. And as Augustine said, who will be spared? Therefore, the fifth commandment is so important. The commandment itself is weighty. Parenthood is weighty. The commandment itself is weighty. It's foundational. It's foundational both to our relationship with God and our relationship with others, our relationship with neighbor. The family is man's first revelation of God, love of God. And the family is foundational to society. It's where we learn how to interact with others. It's where we learn how to honor and respect authority. It's where we learn how to honor and respect just one another, love of neighbor. As we look around in our culture, and as we look at the fifth commandment, and we examine ourselves as a church at large, as a culture at large, as a nation, the question that came up to me is this: is there any hope? Is there any hope? And the answer is yes. This brings me my third and final point this morning: the hope of the fifth commandment. Hope of the fifth commandment. It's the same hope as we get in all the rest of the law, right? Just like the rest of the law, we have failed. We have failed to keep the fifth commandment. We have not perfectly honored our parents in our youth or even in our adulthood. We have failed not to perfectly honor the calling of parenthood. And if you are a parent, we have not perfectly represented God, taught about God, pointed our children to God as we ought to. I know for sure that there's one thing that parenthood has taught me, and it's this: I am a sinner. I'm a sinner in need of grace. Thankfully, God is a God of grace. You know, every man has failed to honor parenthood. Every one of us has failed to honor our own parents. Every one of us has failed to keep the fifth commandment perfectly. Again, I know talking about relationships, father, son, mother, daughter, father, daughter, mother, son, relationships. I know I'm hitting a nerve for a lot of you. None of us have honored our parents the way we should have. None of us have been parents the way we ought to be, besides one man. His name was Jesus, who has perfectly obeyed the fifth commandment, perfectly honored his parents. And guess the Gospels testify to this. When Jesus was young, he perfectly obeyed and submitted to his earthly parents. This is one of the most amazing verses to me. It's Luke 2, verse 51. When you think about it, right? Jesus, the God of the universe who created everything, right, comes in human form as a baby and then has human parents. And it says this, and he went down with them, this parents, these human parents, and came to Nazareth, and he was submissive to them. That's amazing. If you're a wife that struggles with being submissive, or if you're an employee that struggles to be submissive to those that are above you, or if you're a child in this room that struggles to be submissive to your parents, Jesus, the creator of the universe, was submissive to them, and his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. He was a blessing to his parents. On the other side of his life, dying on the cross, he obeyed the fifth commandment. Joseph most likely had died somewhere in Jesus' youth, somewhere between this passage and when he became 30, went out to his ministry, because we just don't see any mention of him. Meaning Mary was alone, and Jesus honored his mother by providing for her. He was on the cross dying, and it says this, John 19:26, when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman," just so you know, that's a polite way of addressing. It's like saying lady in that culture. Or dear. "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to be who took her to his own home. In other words, Jesus was on the cross dying for our sins. And he looks down, sees John, and says, "Take care of my mom. John, take care of my mom." Not only that, Jesus obeyed and honored his heavenly father perfectly. I can show you passage after passage, but let me give you a couple verses. John 5:30 says, Jesus said, "I can do nothing of my own will. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me." John 8:29, Jesus said, "And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him." John 14:31, Jesus said, "But I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father." Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, right, Jesus said, "Not my will, but yours be done." And Paul tells us in Philippians 2 that Jesus humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Jesus went to the cross in obedience to his Father, to glorify his Father, to honor his Father. Jesus was completely sinless. Jesus was completely righteous. And listen, that is our only hope. That his righteousness would be given to us. That's the gospel. That when we put our faith in Jesus, not only are our sins paid for on the cross, but also his righteousness is imputed to us. It's a foreign righteousness. It's not a self-righteousness. It's his righteousness. Listen, as we go through the law, and I hope you guys realize this because we're going to be spending so much time in the law is important. We as Christians should strive to obey the fifth commandment. We should honor our parents. We should honor the high calling of parenthood. We should represent God as a parent to the best of our ability, modeling God's character, modeling God's love and grace, disciplining our children in the fear and instruction of the Lord, teaching our children about God at every opportunity. Again, the law is important, but our hope is not found in the law. Our hope is found in Christ. Our hope is found in the gospel, where Jesus lived a perfect life, obeying the law perfectly. He died on the cross for our sins. He was raised on the third day. Listen, our hope is in that message, the gospel message. As we sang earlier, that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. So let's just end here. Again, I know there's a lot of pains, a lot of regrets that comes with the relationship within family. So let's end with hope. Jesus, obeying his Father perfectly, he honored his Father perfectly, even to the point of death for our sins, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Let me end with this question. Have you put your faith in him? Let's pray. Once again, Lord, we come with the privilege of being able to call you Father. God, I pray for all those that have heard the sermon this morning, Lord, if there is hurts in the relationship of father, Lord, if there's hurts in the relationship of parent and child, either direction, God. God, I pray that we are able to look at you as this perfect father who loves us, Lord. If we've put our faith in you and we have been adopted into your family through Christ and what he has done for us, Lord, that we are your adopted sons and you love us as sons and daughters, Lord. It's an amazing thought. It's an amazing thought that Jesus taught us to pray our Father. God, as a father, an earthly father, I pray for all the parents in this room, Lord, that we would feel the weightiness of parenthood, that we would understand that you have given us a stewardship to point our children to you. God, help us with that calling. Help us also to understand that there's grace when we fail, because we will. God, be with us as a church. Let us always, always elevate parenthood to the place it belongs, a weighty calling within the church. In your son's name, amen.